Okay, this evening we are going to conclude the history portion of the Old Testament with the book of Esther. Oh, wrong. Here we go. I believe it was written about 450 to 431 BC, and we don't know who the author is. It could have been Malachi, it could have been Ezra, it could have been Nehemiah. We don't know, because it's not recorded in the book of Esther. And as man had broken up this particular book, we see that there's 10 chapters in the book of Esther, a short book. And the key thought in the book of Esther is God's providence and protection. We could see that throughout the book of Esther. And we see the content is that God focuses on a very special woman who he uses to save her people. Esther is used by God to stop Haman's plot to destroy the Jews. And one of the key lessons we can learn from the book of Esther is there is a purpose in God's plans. It's not like man's plan. It's higher than man's plan. And as we read the book of Esther, we could see Jesus is the protector of his people. As God had protected the Jews in Persia, Jesus protects you and I today if we follow his word. In the New American Standard, we have Ahasuerus, and in other translations, it's Xerxes. He was the king. Holds a feast and selects Esther as his queen. And that's a pretty interesting reading, the first two chapters. He gets rid of his wife, Vashti, who refuses to show off her beauty to the king's friends. And therefore, he selects another woman to be his queen, and that would be Esther. We see that Haman plots to destroy the Jews. Ahasuerus promotes Haman, who plots to kill the Jews in the third chapter. And we see that Esther must risk her life to intercede for the Jews. Esther chapter 4 through chapter 5 and verse 8. And then Haman plans to kill Mordecai, Esther chapter 5, verses 9 through 14. Esther foils Haman's plan. Ahasuerus has Haman honor Mordecai instead, chapter 6. Esther intercedes for the Jews and Haman is killed, chapter 7. And the king Ahasuerus promotes Mordecai, who delivers the Jews in chapter 8. And Esther and Mordecai institute the Feast of Purim in the last two chapters of Esther. So you can see in a nutshell, it's pretty concise as far as the plot to kill the Jews and how God, who worked behind the scenes, delivered his children from this Haman, who planned on not only killing Mordecai, but he wanted to kill all the Jews. So the book of Esther is a fascinating story of faith. We can see the faith of Mordecai and Esther, of courage. These two individuals put their lives on the line to save their people. We could see that the book of Esther is one of conviction, one of betrayal, one of politics, and one of plots of genocide. When you read the book of Esther and focus on the individual characters, you could see how this all comes through reality. The book of Esther is a drama about two Jews risked everything to save their people. The story is set in Susa, the capital of the Persian Empire. The Jews were taken from the land to live as captives in Babylon for 70 years. God, via king, the Persian king Cyrus, had brought the remnant of his people back to their homeland, but not everyone had returned. Jewish people, including a woman named Esther and her cousin Mordecai, remained scattered across the Middle Eastern world. Although the Jews were enjoying a time of restoration, there were still those who wanted them dead. And even in the time of Jesus, the people wanted to destroy Jesus, a Jew. The book of Esther was written to display the providence of God. When Esther was selected as queen, it was to save the lives of the Jewish people. In order to bring about their salvation, Mordecai had to be in the right place at the right time so he could hear about the plots to kill the king and therefore share with the king what he had heard. Can I get a volunteer to read Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, please?
For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this.
Thank you, Anne. So Mordecai is discussing with Esther the fact that if she remains silent and doesn't do anything, she probably will perish and someone else may deliver them. We don't know. But she has an opportunity. Mordecai was Esther's cousin. When her parents died, he stepped up to raise her. And she was in a prominent position to exercise the opportunity to protect her people. While the primary purpose of the book of Esther was to relate the dramatic origins of the Feast of Purim, a greater theme shines through the story. And we'll talk a little bit down the line on my slides about the Feast of Purim. And that greater theme is the sovereignty and faithfulness of God is displayed in the book of Esther. God is very faithful to his people. And he alone will put the plan in motion using people like Esther and Malachi for his glory and his good, and the good of his people. The book of Esther never mentions God by name. It deals exclusively with God's working through the lives of people. And we see that, how he used Malachi to hear the plot that someone was going to kill the king. And while that plot was foiled, the king rewarded him. And God used Esther as a means of approaching the king to spare the Jews. It begins with, it's a story about a Jewish girl who became the queen of Persia. And the story of a good man who hated without cause. It also is a story of a wicked man whose schemes backfired. It is an ancient account of how God saved the Jews from destruction. And the Jewish feast of Purim celebrates the saving of the Jews by Esther. We talked about it in the book of Ezra. We talked about it in Nehemiah. We looked at examples back in Exodus where God saved a remnant. And there's always a remnant of people, God's people, that he will save. The Feast of Purim, the day of deliverance, became a day of feasting and rejoicing among the Jews. They were spared. Their lives were spared, and they were celebrating, rejoicing. They were exchanging gifts of food and drink with each other. They were donating to the poor. They were eating a celebratory meal with others. They didn't have the books as we have it, but they had scrolls. So they public recitation. What's going on here? Hold on a second. Is something on a cancel? Just 1 second. Okay, they were reading the scroll of Esther publicly, and they were praying and giving thanks to God for the day of deliverance. And they God was behind the scenes working these plans so that these Jews will be spared. Can I get a volunteer to read Esther chapter 8 and verse 17, please?
In each and every province and in each and every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree arrived, there was gladness and joy for the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the dread of the Jews had fallen on them.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that when the king the king's decree was released, there were gladness and joy for the Jews. And then many other people of the land became Jews. They recognized God's power, something that you and I should be sharing with our neighbors, our friends. God is in control, not a man. And we could see that in this book. Esther means I will be hidden. And the book deals with the Jews during the time of their captivity outside their own land, hidden among nations, yet cared for by God whom they had disobeyed. Even though the Jews didn't obey God, God was there. He was faithful to them, and he was protecting them, just as he protects you and I today. God doesn't want anyone to be lost, and he gives each and every one of us ample time to repent. And he wants his children to be faithful. And his children here in the Old Testament are the Jews. And he wants them to be faithful. These Israelites chose to remain in Persia despite the fact that God had opened the way for them to return to Jerusalem. God's overruling hand of mercy and protection was seen here. It showed the children of Israel that God was still watching after them. Just like he protects us today. There's so much hate, there's so much sin, and there's so much turmoil in this world that we live in. We as Christians should know that God is in charge. He is sovereign, and he will extend his hand of mercy and protect his children. We see in when we studied the first book of Peter, those Jews that were scattered and were facing persecution, Peter was reminding them God is with them. No matter what happens to their earthly body, God's going to take care of them. And that's something that we have a difficult time with, because all we know is what we have here on this earth. But we should let God protect us. We should let God extend his hand of mercy to us. And as Christians, we should be faithful and follow his guide, which is the Bible, his word, as we live on this earth. Esther herself may remind us of the beauty that God sees in his people. Another woman in the Bible was Ruth that we read a while ago. And Ruth showed her faithfulness to the Lord, as did Esther. Mordecai is a type of Christ when he protects the Gentile king from those who plotted to take his life. And Jesus extends to Christians the opportunity to have eternal life through his death on the cross. So when you read the book of Esther and you look at these individual characters, you could see how it relates to Jesus, how it relates to God's plan of salvation, how it relates to what God expects from each and every individual. In Esther, we are given a behind-the-scenes look at the ongoing struggle of Satan against the purposes of God, and especially against his promised Messiah. The entrance of Christ into the human race was predicated upon the existence of the Jewish race. Haman plotted against the Jews in order to destroy them. And Satan set himself against Christ and God's people. Haman was killed on the gallows he built for Mordecai. Christ used the cross, the very weapon that his enemy devised to destroy him, as a means of salvation. We see that the cross by which Satan planned to destroy Messiah was the very means through which Christ, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the creeds against us, which was hostile to us, and he had taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Just as Haman was hung on the gallows he built for Mordecai, so the devil was crushed by the cross he erected to destroy Christ. Satan thought he was smarter than God, that the cross was going to destroy Jesus. But in actuality, the cross was in God's plan to provide salvation to all mankind. And Jesus' blood not only flowed forwards, but it also flowed backwards from the cross to those people who were faithful to God, those people who strive to live godly lives under the Old Testament law. And it must have been very difficult, but it extended to them also. And we as Christians are very fortunate to have this gift that God graciously gave to all men, provided that they are faithful, provided that they obey. And that's what Christians do. They obey God. Can I get a volunteer to read Colossians chapter 2 and verses 13 through 15, please?
When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him.
Thank you very much, Carol. So we see that Paul is sharing with the saints at Colossae the fact that we were all dead in our trespasses, and we were made alive together with Christ. And he canceled out that certificate of debt against us. He nailed it to the cross. That is phenomenal when you look at the parallel between what Haman tried to do to Mordecai and what Satan tried to do to Christ. It fit right in God's plans. The book of Esther shows the choice we make between seeing the hand of God in our circumstances in life, and seeing things as a mere coincidence. A lot of worldly people think things happen just by coincidences. But God's hand is in the choices we make. He wants us to make good choices. He wants us to choose him above all. And it's so important that we realize that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. And it's up to each and every one of us to surrender our lives to be joined with him. God is the sovereign ruler of the universe, and we can be assured that his plans will not be moved by actions of mere evil men. God controls everything. He created the world. He created the universe. He created you and I. And God's plans will not be moved by evil men. They may be instruments in God's plans, but God's plans will supersede everything. And that's something that you and I should realize in our lives. When we go and help other people, when we pray for other people, we're doing God's will. We are his instruments. We are his servants. And it's up to us to perform whatever task we have to the best of our ability so that we can be better, we can be servants of God's and bring him and glorify him. Esther proved to have a godly and teachable spirit that also showed great strength and willing obedience. That is a powerful lesson we could learn from Esther. Even though she was quiet, she was a little hesitant on taking the task to approach the king for her people, Mordecai instructed her it was her destiny. She was God's instrument in this particular case. And she mustered up the strength and courage and the obedience to do God's will. Esther's humility was markedly different from the attitude of those around her. And this caused her to be elevated into the position of queen. She shows us that remaining respectful and humble, even in difficult, even in difficulty, if not humanly impossible circumstances, often sets us up to be the vessels of untold blessings for both ourselves and others. That's too long a sentence. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, when you look at Esther, she was very respectful, not only to Mordecai, but also to the king. She was very humble. And King Ahasuerus, as new king, as the New American Standard says his name, or Orestes, as so many other translations have it, noticed this individual. Noticed this particular individual, having qualities that exemplify godly living. And that's something that we should have in our lives, that we display to the world around us. Because we may be in a situation that we may influence others to become Christians. And I know when I look at my life, there's so many blessings that I don't know why God had given to me, but yet he did. And I am so appreciated that he's watching over me, as he does with every faithful Christian. We would do well to emulate her godly attitudes in all our in all areas of life, but especially in trials. We are faced with different trials in our lives, as with Esther. And by having the right attitude, the godly attitude, one of humility and respect to God, this will assist us in our times of various trials. And each and every one of us do encounter various trials at some point in our lives. So God works behind the scenes in the book of Esther. We see that the main theme in the book of Esther is that God is working behind the scenes. There was a divine purpose for all the decisions and details documented in this story. Yet none of that becomes apparent till the end. And we see how when Esther was elevated to queen, Mordecai foils the plot to kill the king. We see how everything turns out for the Jews. And again, God is working behind the scenes to make all this happen. God was arranging all these secular events to bring about his divine purpose to save the Jews. And he did. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Things turn out really well for Mordecai and really poorly for Haman. We see that instead of Haman killing Mordecai or hanging him on the gallows, Haman was the one that swung from the gallows. The text does not explicitly say that Mordecai loved God, but we see him adopting his young cousin when she lost her parents in Esther chapter 2 and verse 7, grieving and mourning at the news of the pending Jewish extermination, exhorting Esther to intervene and fasting. So there again, we see how prayer and fasting enters into the life of someone who is faithful. Mordecai was not only used to save the Jewish people, but he also was promoted to a position of prominence in the Persian kingdom. Can I get someone to read Esther chapter 2 and verse 7, please?
He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had no father or mother. Now the young lady was beautiful of form and face, and when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter.
Thank you, Di. So we see how this plays out. Esther took his uncle's daughter. Mordecai took his uncle's daughter and raised her. And can I get a volunteer to read Esther chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, please?
When Mordecai learned all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. He went as far as the king's gate, for no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth.
Thank you, Faith. So Mordecai knew that fasting and praying and appealing to God was something that he had to do, as with us today. We should always remember we have an avenue of prayer through Christ Jesus to God. And it's so important in our lives that we communicate with our Heavenly Father. Just as we communicate with our earthly father, we should do same. We should do more to communicate with God the Father. Can I get a volunteer for to read the next passage, Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, please?
Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you will have not attained royalty for such a time as this."
Thank you very much, Carolyn. So we see that Mordecai is encouraging Esther to step up to the plate, to step up to be the instrument that God wants to save his people. And finally, can I get someone to read Esther chapter 4, verses 15 through 17?
Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded him.
Thank you, Kim. So we see that fasting, and it also comes to putting all thoughts away from your mind and focusing on the task in hand and praying to God during this time. It's something that we don't normally do, something I should do for my health, but I don't. But yet, do it for your spiritual welfare so that God will help you in times of trials, help you in times of crisis, help you in times that sometimes are not bearable, but yet approach God this way. And that's what Esther did and her people. The Jews, as God's people, were often persecuted. We see that throughout the Old Testament. We see that in the New Testament. Haman had an intense hatred for the Jews. He wanted to exterminate them. It was illogical and irrational, and it was evil. It was only when Haman learned of Mordecai's ethnic identity that it seemed repugnant to him to do away with Mordecai alone. He planned to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews. We see that happening in World War II with the Germans, where they destroyed the Jews. We see that happening in other areas where people who are inferior and people are taking advantage of that. And I'm referring to the times when they had slavery. They took advantage of those people. And this is the same attitude that Haman had. He had an intense hatred. Can I get a volunteer to read Esther chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, please?
When Haman saw that Mordecai neither bowed down nor paid homage to him, Haman was filled with rage. But he disdained to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had told him who the people of Mordecai were. Therefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of
Ahasuerus, that's close enough. Thank you, Di. So we see that he wanted to destroy the Jews. They were different than him. And we see that happening throughout the world, throughout history. We see that happening. We see that happening to when we read about our own history, the history of the United States, that people were different and they wanted to destroy them because they didn't fit their type of people. And that's what Haman did. He was filled with rage. Satan had a hold on this individual where he wanted to destroy all the Jews. And that's horrible. We see also that the law drawn up by Haman told the officials to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jewish people, young and old, women and children. Nobody was going to survive. According to this particular law he drew up. So in Esther chapter 3 and verse 13, letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill and annihilate all the Jews, both young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to seize their possessions as plunder. Boy, I tell you, that's horrible. But God's plan changed that. So promotion comes from God. Both Esther and Mordecai were promoted. Neither individual, formally or informally, sought their position. God orchestrated the events to put Esther and Mordecai in the places of prominence where they could be used by him to accomplish his purpose. Could I get a volunteer to read Esther chapter 2 and verse 17, please?
The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
Thank you, Anne. And again, Esther chapter 8, verses 1 through 2, please. Could I get a volunteer for that one, please?
On that day, King Ahasuerus gave the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Queen Esther, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had disclosed what he was to her. The king took off his signet ring, which he had taken away from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman.
What a turn of events that God had orchestrated. And we see that the king honored Esther and honored Mordecai and elevated both of them, one to be the queen and one to be over the house of Haman. Life can be hard. Difficult times happen and pain cannot be avoided. And that's what happened in the story of Esther. When life doesn't make sense, do you turn to God or away from him? That's a question I ponder upon in my life. When things happen, do I rely on myself or do I rely on seeking God's advice, seeking God's wisdom, going to his word and helping me in those times of trials, in those times of tribulation, in those hard times and difficult times? And the book of Esther gives us an idea of what faith looks like when it's played out. And it challenges us with the question, is my faith as evident as Esther's and Mordecai's? Another question when you look at the book of Esther, how does your faith measure up to the faith that Esther and Mordecai had as they risked their lives in a foreign nation to save their people? When our faith is challenged, how do we react? How do we face those challenges? Do we turn to God or away from him? We should be asking our questions at that at all times in our lives. Because another thing that we do as Christians, we could emulate Jesus in our lives so that others may see Christ in us. And we can all achieve that by our studying, by our praying, by our meditating on God's word, and by praying to God for guidance. Jesus called us friends, and the Spirit is our helper. In John 15:15, no longer do I call you slaves, and this is Jesus talking, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And when we study God's word, the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write what God wanted us to have. And it's, we don't have everything. We don't have all the answers, but yet God had revealed in his word to us what he and what he knows that we should have. And we should use that in our lives. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, can I get a volunteer to read that one, please?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
Thank you. So when he's communicating this to his disciples or apostles, the Helper was going to be with them. And when we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. He's indwelling in us today. And by the way you act in the world displays what type of attitude you have. Not just when you meet up with other Christians, not when you meet on Sunday mornings, but 24/7. How you're supposed to display Christ in you with the help of the Holy Spirit. We should trust and obey as Esther did. And God will silently weave all events for his glory and for your good. Just as he did for Esther. And the Jews in their time of their lives while they were still remained in Persia, God will weave the events in our lives today for His glory and for our good. We may not think it may be our good, but yet God knows what's best for you and I. And He will give us what we need as He sees fit. That's all I had for tonight. Are there any questions, or anyone want to add anything to this lesson? I appreciate everybody's participation in your readings. And when you reflect on the Book of Esther, you could see, and as we've been looking at the books thus far in the Old Testament, they teach us something. It's not that the Old Testament should be ignored because we have the New Testament. It's the Old Testament teaches us that God's plan is our only, it works better than man's plan.